Romans chapter number 15. I want to look tonight at a little bit at the four Gospels. It's common knowledge that Christians, on the whole, do not read the Bible too much. Surveys show that most Christians listen to it, but they don't read it too much. They don't feel they understand it or get too much from it. And I want to help give you a little help tonight in reading, especially the four Gospels. But we want to look at a verse in Romans 15 and verse number 8. Now, why did Christ come into the world promising a kingdom? Why did John the Baptist say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand"? Why did he come to offer to Israel a kingdom? Well, this verse tells us that he came to Israel, and it tells us why he came to the nation of Israel. He came as the Messiah. He came to offer them the kingdom that God knew they wouldn't accept. But, of course, ultimately, his purpose in coming was to die on the cross. But listen to this verse. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of or to the circumcision. Now, the circumcision in the Bible was a term used of the nation of Israel. All Jews, males, were circumcised. So what this verse is actually saying, that Jesus Christ came to be a minister to Israel, the children of Israel. What did he come to minister to the children of Israel for? Because the truth of God was at stake. For the truth of God. That's why he came. He wanted to come to confirm the promises unto the fathers. God had made promises to Abraham and his earthly seed about a land that they would inherit. And God made promises to David, a king, about a kingdom and a son to sit on his throne in that land. And this verse says that Christ came as a minister to the Jewish people to confirm the truth of God, to confirm the promises that God had made to the fathers. So that was absolutely necessary for him to come and offer to the Jewish people that kingdom. He foreknew they would not receive it, but he offered that to them because God, for the truth of God and the promises he had made. Now, if you look with me in Matthew chapter number 15, you're going to see a confirmation on this very verse that I'm talking about. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 24. A Canaanitish woman who would be a Gentile came to the Lord seeking help for her daughter who was vexed with the spirit. And this is what the Lord said to her in verse 24. But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So that very clearly tells us that the Lord Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years, or at least the beginning of that ministry, was to the house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that he was a minister to the circumcision, or to the nation of Israel. That's why you might read in the four Gospels, or especially three Gospels, you might read something there, and you might read over into the epistles, and you wonder whether Paul was preaching the same gospel, or Jesus was preaching the same gospel that the Lord was preaching. So, having made that clear, the four Gospels that give us an account of the ministry of Christ, we're told that he came to be a minister to the nation of Israel, so that the truths of God that was promised to the fathers in the Old Testament might be confirmed, might be verified that they were still effective, and God was going to fulfill them. But of course, he didn't fulfill them at that time. He will fulfill those in the future. Now, You might say, we looked a little bit, you weren't here, but we looked a little bit after the after resurrection of Christ the other day. That is, the ministry of Christ up until the time he went to the cross, and the ministry of Christ 40 days after that was quite different. The so-called all of commissions in the four Gospels, like, and the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, go and teach all nations and make disciples of all nations. Mark says, go in the world and preach the Gospel. John says, Jesus said, as I have sent, the Father sent me, so send I you, and so on. And these are all given after the resurrection of Christ, not before, because his ministry was restricted to the nation of Israel. He was a minister of the circumcision. His purpose was to confirm the promises that God had made to the fathers in the Old Testament. Now, so, we've got four accounts given of the life and ministry of Christ. Now, during that 3 years of ministry especially, there was a change along the way, and that change took place in Matthew chapter 16. If you care to look at that, in Matthew chapter 16, he gives a revelation of four things that were previously not revealed, in a sense, at least to the disciples. In Matthew chapter 16, he gives to Peter a revelation of the person of Christ in verse number 16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. That was a fresh revelation given to Peter and to the others that this one was the Son, the Christ, the Son, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then in the next verse, you've got the revelation of the church. Never mentioned before in the Bible. It was a mystery hidden in ages past. But the Lord gives a revelation that he's going to build a church. It's in the future tense. Now in verse 21, he gives a new revelation about going to the cross and dying on the cross. For from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go up to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, be raised again the third day. Peter rebuked him, said, far be it from thee. So he gave a revelation of the cross, not mentioned up to this point. Three times in the Gospel of Matthew, he gives this revelation about going to the cross. Matthew 17 and 23, Matthew 20 and verse 18, gives the same revelation about him going to the cross. His ministry is changing a bit from that of presenting himself to Israel as the Messiah, and he's now presenting himself as the Savior who is going to go to the cross for the salvation of sinners. Now, the fourth revelation, of course, is the coming again of the Son of Man in verse 28, the coming back again of the Son of Man. Up till that point, they likely only believed in the one coming of Christ. Sometimes in the Old Testament, when you're reading it, it appears that there's just one coming of Christ. But when you get in the New Testament, we've got a revelation here that Christ is going to die, he's going to be buried, he's going to be resurrected, he's going to ascend to heaven, and he's going to come back again, in this particular context, coming back again to Israel. Now, that gives us a little bird's eye view of the four Gospels and the ministry of Christ. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in Matthew's Gospel, I want you to keep, when you're reading the four Gospels, to keep this in mind. These four Gospels, here comes Dr. McHale, these four Gospels was written after Acts chapter 28. They were all written after the history, the first 30 years of history of the book of Acts. Now, the Gospels themselves, they are about the person of Christ. Each four Gospels have a different theme about the person of Christ. But what I want to point out to you is who they were written to. You read in the epistles, and it's written to the Church of God at Corinth, and so on and so on. But the Gospels do not open by saying who they are written to. But they were written to somebody about the person of Christ and his life on this earth. Each one of them is different. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, they're not different, but each one of them contains something that the other Gospel does not contain. Now, three of them are much alike, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is quite different. John was written about 25 years after the Lord, the others. His Gospel was written about A.D. 90. Come in. Come in. So we're looking at the ministry of Christ, who was a minister to the circumcision, and he came to the lost sheep of Israel. And the four accounts that we have, called the four Gospels, are all written about the person of Christ. It's the only record we have in the world of the life of Christ for about 33 years on this earth. And in the Gospel of Matthew, each one of them have a theme. When you're reading the Gospel of Matthew, you stop to think, what is it, who is it reading about, or what aspect of Christ or characteristic of Christ is reading about. Now, the Gospel of Matthew, all these written, remember, 30 years after the Lord went back to heaven, after the close of the ministry to the Jewish people, that closed in Acts chapter 28. Although it was open to the Gentiles in Acts 10, it was closed to Israel in Acts chapter 28, about 30 years after he went back to heaven. Paul addressed the nation of Israel for the last time, and then, of course, the individual Jew can be saved now, but the nation itself has not been addressed after that. Now, the Gospel of Matthew is written about the person of Christ as the King of the Jews. That's very clear from chapter 2 and verse number 3-2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, when you read this Gospel, you're reading the Gospel about Jesus as the King of the Jews. And you're reading about the kingdom 32 times in this book. You read about the kingdom of heaven. You don't read about the kingdom of heaven anywhere else in the Bible, in the New Testament, only in the book of Matthew. So when you're reading the book of Matthew, stop to think. I'm reading about the King of the Jews, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, the one that come to confirm the promises offered to the fathers, the minister to the circumcision. I'm reading about him and his presenting himself as the King of the Jews to the nation of Israel. That's who it's written to. That's who it's written about. But who's it written to? That's the question. Who's it written to? 30 years after Pentecost, this Gospel was written. About A.D. 60, one of the earlier Gospels. About A.D. 60, roughly a little less than 30 years. Now, the Gospel of Matthew was written about the Jews, about him as the King of the Jews, and this Gospel evidently was written to the Jewish believers and probably to the church at Jerusalem. It was probably written to them. It's the background of their history. It's the background of all the promises God has made to Israel, and it was likely written at about A.D. 60. It was likely written to the church, sent to the church, all of the churches, but especially the church at Jerusalem. Now I must hurry on. Gospel of Mark. When you're reading the Gospel of Mark, you're not reading about Jesus as the King of the Jews. You're reading about him as the servant of Jehovah. And in this epistle, it's going to be characterized by the word straightway or at once. And it's Christ in action, not in teaching. It's Christ in action as the servant of Jehovah. And this gospel was written about 4 or 5 years after the gospel of Matthew, and of course after the book of Acts closed. So the gospel of Mark was written about Jesus as the servant mentioned in Isaiah 3 different times. Now when you get to the book go back to the gospel of Mark. It was written about Jesus as the servant, but who was it written to? It was not written to the Jewish culture. It was written to the Roman world. It was written, the language in here implies it was written probably to the church at Rome, in the, what we read about in the book of Romans. And it has a Romanish overtone to the language in this book. So remember, when you're reading Matthew, you're reading about the King of the Jews. And that book was probably written to the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem and Judea. You read the book of Matthew, Mark, and you're reading about Jesus the servant. And you're likely, you think of that as the Christian, Gentile Christians, and especially the Roman Christians in Rome that was ruling at that time. Luke's Gospel. Now Luke writes the Gospel in Luke chapter 1 about a little bit before the Gospel of Matthew, and he writes about Jesus as the Son of Man. He's not writing about him as the King of the Jews. He's not writing about him especially as the servant of Jehovah, but he's writing about him as the Son of Man. So he traces his manhood right back to Adam. So all through this epistle, the key thought is, that's the Son of Man. Now Luke was a doctor, And the book is written to a person in verse 3, chapter 1 and verse 4 or 3, Theophilus. Now, whoever Theophilus was, it's not sure, but he was some sort of a man that was addressed as being most excellent. Luke was a doctor, and generally doctors keep things in order, and I hope that's true of you, brother. They keep things in order. He writes this book to a person, probably a fellow professional man, probably not a doctor, but somebody most excellent. That Felix was called that. Festus was called that. That was a term used of a Roman governor, but it isn't likely he was a Roman governor. But he was some kind of a dignified man anyway. And he writes this to put in order things that are surely believed among Christians. But it's written to a person. And it's about the Son of Man, the humanity and the sonship of Christ. Now flip over into the Gospel of John. And we're going to see that the Gospel of John, quite different than the other Gospels. You're going to read things in the Gospel of John that's not mentioned in the other three Gospels. For instance, you'll never read about the Lamb of God in the three Gospels that takes away the sin of the world. You'll never read John 3:16 in the three Gospels. You'll never read about being born again in the three Gospels. It's only in the Gospel of John. And it's only about AD 90, roughly about 57.5 years after the Lord went back to heaven, much later than the other Gospels. And John is writing, and the theme of his book is the Son of God. He's writing about the Son of God. There was a controversy at that time about the 100 years after Christ was born, about the deity and the humanity of Christ. And John writes a book to point out that Jesus not only was the Son of God, but he mentions the Son of Man much in the book too, to show that he was a man that had a dual nature. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. Now, the key message of this book is the word believe. 86 times in this book. Faith is not mentioned in the Gospel of John, but believe is. Now, the difference between faith and believe, faith is a noun, it's something you have. Believe is something you do. This is the gospel of evangelism. This gospel, probably God has used the Gospel of John more in the preaching of the gospel than any other book in the Bible. You've got lovely verses all through this book that you'll not find in the other three gospels. John 3:16, being born again, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Those are not it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter and be saved. You don't read that in the other gospels. You get little glimpses of the gospel of those things there, but you'll not read about those things. Those are strictly given by John. And the gospel is addressed to whosoever. 10 times. Not only that word is used, but 10 times is that. And there's another little word, any man. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So it's a gospel. It's addressed to the world. It's the gospel of evangelism. It's the gospel that tells it out like it should be. Whereas the three gospels, the Lord has, they are written about the Lord's ministry, mainly to the Jewish people. Now I want to show you a little bit how to use this, and then I'm going to sit down. Look in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist comes on the scene in verse number 2, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the literal kingdom God promised to David, and it's at hand. And he baptized people, getting them ready for the coming of the Lord. And Jesus came along, and he was baptized too. In verse number 13, Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. He was baptized. We got the record of his baptism here. Now, you want to know some more about this chapter? You want to know a little more detail about this here? Well, then look in the other Gospels. Because the same event, Jesus only baptized once. So whatever Mark has to say about him and his baptism, whatever Luke has to say about him and his baptism, whatever John has to say about him and his baptism, all fits into the same context. But, for obvious reasons, it was not put in the Gospel of Matthew, because it would have no meaning, probably, to the Jewish culture. So, he says in the Gospel of Matthew, he was baptized. The Spirit of God descended like a dove, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, compare that with me in Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, you got the record. So it's putting these things together that you get the whole picture. In Mark chapter 1, you have much the same thing in verse 9 of chapter 1. Just about the same thing, straight where he was baptized and the voice from heaven and so on. About the same thing. Look in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. The Gospel of Luke. Chapter number 3. In verse 21, you get about the same thing as the other three Gospels. Roughly about the same thing. So it's comparing these three things and fitting them together. You get the whole picture of the baptism of Christ. But, look with me in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. When you read Matthew and Mark and Luke in connection with the baptism of Christ, you always want to think it's the same baptism and the same context that's mentioned in John's Gospel. So what do you got in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29? The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now that was said at the same time of the baptism in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. But it was not recorded. Why didn't God record it? Because he didn't want that part. He didn't want Matthew to record that particular part. He just wanted a certain part of the baptism of Christ recorded in those three Gospels. When you get into the Gospel of John, it's a different picture altogether. You fit that into those three, and what do you got? You got at the same time John baptized Jesus, he introduced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Didn't do that in the other three, for obvious reasons. God knows. And not only that, but he gives the meaning of the baptism of Christ. It says, John says in verse 32, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now that's not recorded in the other four Gospels. In the other three Gospels, not recorded at all. So, you see, fitting these four Gospels together, fit John's Gospel into Matthew's baptism and you get the full picture. Or fit Luke into there, fit all of them in and you get the same picture. So it's a harmonizing of the events of these Gospels. Why four? Because God did not want to write to Matthew who he wrote about the King of the Jews. He did not write any more about the baptism of Christ than he wanted him to know, or anything else. So I trust this will give you a little bit of help in reading, especially the four Gospels. And these are the most important. I've read them over several times this year. Instead of reading through the Bible, I'm reading over the four Gospels throughout the year, to get a better picture of the life and the ministry of Christ that was on the earth. So remembering this, that the Gospel of Matthew is talking about Jesus as King, Mark as God's servant, Luke as the Son of Man, John as the Son of God. Written to Matthew, probably to the church at Jerusalem, sent to them, and of course to others as well. Mark probably to the church at Rome and the Roman culture. And Luke is written to a person, Theophilus, and John is written to whosoever will read or listen.